We are a chasholchan. Fine. So last time we got up to halacha yod dalet. Okay. So let's see. Hopefully we can try to mostly finish this siman. Let's see. Okay. So now in halacha yod dalet, the Rambam yod dalet turns from the general mitzvah to eat or chiyuv to eat in the sukkah. Now, normally during sukkahs, your obligation is to, if you're going to eat in the sukkah. But there's one time in which you have to eat, and therefore you must eat in the sukkah, and that is?
Well, there's
the first night.
Oh, in Shabbos.
First night.
Right, so more complicated than that, because the first night you're going to have to eat in the sukkah, right? So, he quotes the Rambam, Kadav HaRambam, Achila b'leleyom devarishon v'sukkah chova, v'afil ochal kezayit pat, Yatzai de chovato. Right, so even if you have a single kizayit, you're yotzei. Mikan va'elach reshudin. From then on, it is optional. Ratza lechol suda. If you want to eat a meal, so soy besuka, you eat in the sukkah. Ratza in ochel kol shiva laperd okloyot chutzal sukkah ochel kedin achilat masav pesach. And if you don't want to eat, so then you don't want to eat in the sukkah. So eat, you know, you want to eat nuts and apples and bananas and whatever. Okay, just like matzah on pesach. The first night is a chiyuv, and after that, you can't eat chametz, but you don't have to eat matzah. But now he says, okay, but what does it mean that there's no mitzvah? So now you'll see, again, kedarko, the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't rest there. And he says, v'hinei l'dvarav, ein chiyuv klal lechol pat v'yom tov levad laila harishona. According to him, there's no chiyuv to eat bread after the first night. V'gam berak v'hilchot yom tov lo yizkar chilat pat klal v'yom tov elo oneg shabasar v'yayin. And the truth is, the Rambam doesn't even mention bread on Yom Tov. In general, he mentions meat and wine. You guys in my share know this. V'rak b'Shabbat is kirshalar su do chalpat. Only on Shabbat do we have the halach of three meals of bread. V'lo b'Yom Tov. V'zeu dara tosvot v'arosh b'sukah. And he says, indeed, this is the position of Tosvot and the Rosh in Sukkah, that there is no obligation of a bread meal on Sukkah outside the first night. Avol b'brachot lo katvukein. But in brachot, they say not that way. V'aran v'sukashem gadat d'yeshchiv lechol mizonah v'lo pat shel hamotzi. He says that there's a chiyuv to eat, not hamotzi, but mizonot. Rishon v'mashah edya b'sukah k'dat atoz v'arash. But the Yerushalmi is like Tosfot. Karkatam nula el b'zun tavkov chavtet siv gimel ula halacha. So what's the halacha? And you're a k'dat aranzal. Right, the halacha seems like the Ran, that there is no chiyuv to eat bread, there's a chiyuv to eat a mizonot. Now, what should the nafkamina be, whether there's a chiyuv to eat on the first night bread per se or mizonot? The nafkamina is, what if you forget? It should be for, if you forget yalav yavo and benching. Right, because the normal halacha is if you forget yalav yavo, if you forget ritzei in benching on Shabbos, do you have to repeat benching? So the answer is yes, yes, no. Right? Friday night lunch, you do. Sudash Lishit, you don't, because since Sudash Lishit, you don't have to eat bread per se. It's ideal, but you don't have to. So normally it's bread. Right? So the halacha is that Friday night and Shabbos day when you must eat bread. If you don't say retain benching, you must repeat benching. But Sudash Lishit, even though you should have bread, if you don't have bread, you can be yotzei with other things, with mizonot and fruit and whatever. And therefore, if you forget retain benching, you don't have to go back. So he says, so if that's the case, according to the Ran, you don't have to have hamotzi on even the first night. You just have to have a gezayit of pot, but it includes pot of it, because it includes mizonot. So if that's the case, that it's not even essential to have bread per se, so maybe you shouldn't repeat benching if you forgot yalav yavo. He says, no. Mikomakom shachach yalav yavo birkat amazon b'yom tov machzir noto. Mishum the gambirchot main shalom maskir and shal yom tov. He says, not quite, because in mizonot, right in alamiche, you also mention yom tov. And therefore, there is no way of eating something that would not require you to have a bracha achrona that would include yom tov, and therefore, you must repeat if you forget it. But then he notes in Tedvav, Rabbeinu Beit Yosef pasak the Rambam, right? Beit Yosef passes like the Rambam. The Rama adds that you're not allowed to eat until it is definitely night, meaning right, definitely night. But has to be before midnight. And you don't eat a meal from Chatzot on Erev Sukkot, just like you don't for matzah, right? Where you don't eat from, right? You don't eat a meal on the second half of the day on Erev Pesach. V'hatam, what's the reason? We compare the eating on the first night of Sukkot to the of matzah, and then we compare them to halacha. And he says, but doesn't this seem to be even more machmir? Because my matzah, we say it's from the 10th hour. Right? I mean, mincha ketana. So why are we more machmir in Sukkot? And he says, maybe the reason is because on Erev Pesach, if we say you're not allowed to eat what does that mean? So there's no bread to eat anyways, right? Because you're not allowed to have chametz or matzah after chatzot, right? Therefore, what would you be eating? Something else, fruit, whatever. And therefore, there's no problem to eat it from chatzot and on because, like, it's light, but when it's 2.5 hours from Shkia, that's when it starts getting problematic because it's too close. But on Erev Sukkot, since you're allowed to eat bread, he suggests maybe that's why we're more machmir, right? That on Erev Sukkot, we have to forbid you from eating even from, right, Chatzot and on, because since you have the potential to eat bread, we don't want you to have a meal, and therefore we stop you from eating from an earlier time. However, if you, you know, the Mishnah Brura notes, the majority of Achronim disagree with this, Psak, and say that even on Erev Sukkot, the Isser doesn't begin at Chatzot, it begins later in the day, just like it does on Pesach. But again, you see him, right, suggesting his own pshat in the sukkah. And the chumrah to eat before Chatzot is just a chumrah. Because even by matzah, it's a machloket, and the Rambam thinks make right then you can eat matzah all night. But since there are those who are machmir, there's another way of looking at this, and that is the reason you don't have to eat in the sukkah the rest of Sukkot is simply because a kezayit is not enough to make you chayev. Right? It has to be, how much bread are you chayev to eat in the sukkah? An amount that's keva. Which a kezayit is not enough for that. It's set. It's like a meal. Oh, okay. Right? And that, so kezayit is the minimum of achila, the minimum that counts as eating, but it's not the minimum
so would you say
for a meal. And therefore he says, on the first night, because contextually it's defined as set. Why is it called set? Even if you have a kezayit on the first night. Because since you're chayev to have it, that makes it significant. Right? So he says on the first night, the kezayit must be in the sukkah because it's significant because you have a chiyuv. But in any other day, if you had literally just a kezayit mitzumtam, right, meaning precisely the kezayit, you wouldn't have to eat it in the sukkah, and that's what makes the first night different. That the context makes even the smaller amount contextually important and therefore requires a sukkah.
So
yeah.
When we talk about the quantity of a meal, how could that be like? Of a pita or something.
It's a few few eggs worth. So yeah, maybe a pita. Is that maybe. Subjective or objective? So we give like shiurim that it's like, you know, a few
imagine
eggs.
Imagine someone who's like 6'7" and 300 pounds. His definition of a meal is going to be very different from a woman who's 4'11" and weighs 90 pounds.
That's exactly what I'm
asking. Right.
So obviously.
But in general, we give a shiur, an approximate shiur at least. So, but it's not a kezayit.
When you say the first day, outside of Israel, when you do 2 days of Yom, is it the first day? Does that be both days or the first?
So the first night is the most machmer.
Right. Okay, even though we're repeating the first day because we're unsure on when the first day actually is, or if that's the reason.
We don't care about halacha in Chutz Laaretz. This is not what we're trying to talk about.
He's, and he's living in Lithuania.
I'm living in Israel.
Yes, but he's not writing in Israel, so he should care.
No, but why should I care right now? This year, why should we in this year care about this?
Because it's the way you play your
I've
been
one or two days this year,
Michael. I'm keeping one also.
Well, you live here.
I know. I'm a big Maykill. I keep one.
Seriously, don't make that decision for yourself. Speak to someone about it.
What? For one day?
One day versus two.
I did it. That's my Zadie was a rabbi. That was what he asked.
Okay, there you go. That's the point.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad. I'm not telling you what to do here, but in America, don't do that. In America, you do have to keep to it.
Yeah,
why? I never understood. Wasn't it a thing of we didn't know, but nowadays we do know.
The rabbi told us.
It's a punishment. A lot of rabbis do poskim that way. They say we have to still keep
the extra says day
because it's a punishment.
Yeah, that's not what the Gemara says.
I know. I'm talking about right now.
The Gemara says minhag avoseichem yadeichem. Your forefather's custom is in your hands.
Okay, my father's minhag is to eat treif Chinese food and watch videos on his iPad on Chalice. Okay?
That's not a minhag.
So, can I follow that minhag? No?
No.
Yes.
Who are your forefathers in terms of minhag?
Who you choose?
If you're not married,
choose your minhag.
And you're a convert.
Because that's a minhag Klal Yisrael. It's not the minhag of your father's. The minhag Klal Yisrael. Like, your the answers are, that's a minhag. It's either a minhag that Yerushalmi thinks it's takana. But anyway, but no. But in terms of minhagim in general, a convert, it's not it's not clear exactly what they would do in terms of minhag.
1 hour? Meaning
they're
in?
They can hold minhag. Yes. They could go by the Rambam, can't they? That you don't have to wait between meals. You have the bench.
It's not the Rambam. The Rambam says 6 hours.
It was
Rabbi Tam.
Maybe it was very late at night when Rabbi Ginsburg gave the shiur.
Rabbi Tam. Yes. Okay. So va'od katav b'sof sif hey the gamlinin shamim yesh chumra b'layla rishona yodim mikol achagra. There's another very important chumra of the first night, and that is what happens if it rains. So what's the normal halach if it rains on Sukkot?
You
can leave, right? You can leave the sukkah.
You take your tarp, and just pull it over.
Which is, of course, the equivalent of leaving the sukkah, right? Because once you've covered the sukkah, you're not in the sukkah.
Take your tarp in the sleeping bag. On top of the sleeping bag is a tarp with half of it folded over. Once it rains, you just take the other half and you just pull it over yourself and go back to sleep.
You need to be elevated, though, or the ground is
going to... I think you can't
make okay. That.
Yes, but the ground, you need to be elevated.
Yes, because you're on your camping car.
he's thought this out very much, yes.
What? Yes.
So he says, so normally, yes, the halacha is mitzdar patim in asuka, and therefore if it's raining, you can leave. If you're in pain, you can leave. So every other night, you're allowed to leave the sukkah. And if you don't leave when it's raining, Yerushalmi says, what are you? Kehedyot. What's a hedyot?
An idiot.
Very good. Thank you. See, this is where you not knowing Hebrew helps you. Because hedyot, like in the Gemara, usually people think it means a simpleton, right? But the origin of the word is idiot. It's the same etymology. That's what it is. Idiot. Right?
This is why I don't really go through your source sheets word for word. Because if I did that, then I'll learn Hebrew. I wouldn't be able to.
Oh.
Rabbi, just give us the best excuse for not learning how to read.
No. Aval belayla rishona tzarich leachol gzay b'sukkah af im gshamim yordin. But on the first night, so this is a little bit complicated. So the Aruch HaShulchan says on the first night you're obligated to eat the kizayit, and even if it's raining. Now that's not so obvious, right? Because the Mishnah Berurah says it's clear that on the first night you must eat in the sukkah. But what's less clear?
If it's raining.
No, even if it's raining, you have to. But the question is, what does rain do? Does it mean that you have to eat in the sukkah even if it's raining, or you have to wait it out so that you can eat when it's not raining? Right? You understand the difference?
Yeah.
Right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, ideally, you should wait. And then he notes that some people say you shouldn't bother waiting. But if you don't have a choice, right, it's going to keep raining, so you go to the sukkah, v'kadesh b'sukkah, k'dei lomar zman ala sukkah. V'chein gvatz gvatur, v'asmag, gam haran, k'dei v'zeh l'shano, v'chein romim, d'hachi gamin leila yom d'rishon shal chag mechag matzot lomar, sh'afil yagdu k'shamim chayev lechol b'sukkah, avagav d'miftar v'shar yom. The Ron says, this is what we learned from Pesach, that eating on the first night of Sukkot is a chiyuv, just like eating matzah, and rain doesn't help you with that. V'chein gadav harash, Omnam harash ba bichidushav dachalid varam elu. Chen gadav v'shem rabosh en chilk min lai rishon l'chol elot. V'chadav v'shem gadol hador mitzarfat shem mechayiv lishon besukah harishon. So the Rashba says that he disagreed. He thinks you're exempt even on the first night. But then he quotes, right, so the Rashba quotes two shita, a more meikel shita, a more lenient shita, which is that if it's raining on the first night, you're patur. Right, you're exempt. And then a more machmer shita, that if it's raining on the first night, not only do you have to eat in the sukkah, but what else do you have to do, Avi? Sleep. Right? The God of Hashem, God la dormi tzarfaj, and v'chayv nishon mazuk rishon akshir gusham l'chol apakot shinarai, at least a nap. V'dacha peirush zeh, chen God of a smak. And the smak rejects this. One more halacha, and then I'll talk about it. And he's v'tam machlukodan, what's the reason? Remember, he always tries to analyze, what's the reason? Da potrim sovrim to be in antejo kenta duru in adam darbavet jbayachik sham yordim sham. The ones who exempt you say, listen, the rule in sukkah is teshu kenta duru. You need to live there the way you would live in your house. And if it's raining, you wouldn't live there. And to the extent that you compare it to matzah, that just means that if you can be in the sukkah, you must. But the first night still is guided by the same principle of living like you do in your house. So why do the people say that you're chayev? I'm a chayevim safri. The liar is on the end of a chol besukot teshu shivat yamim. The nitzrach teshu kein daduru. They think that the first night the chiyuv doesn't emerge from teshu kein daduru, which would limit you to living. Zeo kol achag. That's on all chag. Of a liar is on the afin mechamishasar chamishasar mechag amatzot. But they think that the first night of Sukkot, we learn from a comparison to Pesach, that there's an independent chiyuv achila in the sukkah. It's not a derivative of teshu kein daduru. Right? You understand the machloket? Right? He says, what do we say by the first night? Is it just an intensification of the normal mitzvah of sukkah?
No.
In which case, you'd be chayev, but not if it rains, because teshu kein daduru would still exempt you just like what every other night. Or do you say, no, on the first night, you have an independent chiyuv to eat, right? In the sukkah, just like you have a chiyuv to eat matzah, no matter what. Yeah, correct. If you eat in the sukkah, there's no chiyuv achila, which you happen to be mekayim in the sukkah, also checking off the box of teshu kein daduru. Yes. Right? V'lo g'div kan teshu, there it doesn't have the word teshu, did not trich kein daduru, v'heichan g'div teshu, v'sof ha-parsha, v'siba teshu shivat yamim, v'suko teshu shivat yamim. Only at the end of the parsha does it say that, v'lchein ala shivat yamim b'inan kein daduru. So for the other 7 days, you need that it should be the way you would live. V'lo alalala rishona, but not the first night. The chiyuv amirosh parsha, which the obligation stems from the other part of the parsha. V'o mitzvah b'vnei atzma, l'kayim mitzvah sukkah achila v'sheina. That there's an independent mitzvah to fulfill the mitzvah of living in the sukkah, eating and sleeping. K'moshe mechuyavim l'kayim mitzvah achilat matzah b'la rishon shal pesach afil mitzvah chayav. Where you have to eat matzah on the first night, even if you hate it and it causes you pain. Too bad, right? I'm sure many people, their stomach is a little bit upset by matzah. And the answer is, too bad. We are very sorry. Too bad. Yes. So that is the machlok that we saw in the Rashba. That's where you can get away with the kazayiv. The daiv shein arai, and you could nap. He says a nap is the equivalent of eating a kazayit. The Torah gazra l'kayem b'litanayim, and the Torah decreed that you fulfill the mitzvah with no conditions attached. Vafil mitzayir, vafil yorim gusham, even in pain, even with rain. V'chein haminag ka'osrim. And he said the minag is like those who are machmir. V'lachein afilu chole shemitzayir. So even if someone is sick, in rak yachol leilech l'sukkah l'shma kiddush l'achol kazayit mechuyev l'asung, and if he's well enough to, you know, get out to the sukkah just for Kiddush and David Kazayit, he can't. So he says the minhag is, right, again, how does he base it? The minhag. No, the minhag. Right, remember, he says, here's the lamdus. Right? What is it drives? He says the minhag is to be machmir on eating and mekil on sleeping. So eating, he says, even if you're sick, you should try to make it out to the sukkah. Even if it's raining. Avol b'sheina einog in b'ridat gishamim afilo arai. But the minhag is for sleeping that you don't even nap out there. Mishum debalavach yenu mekil b'sheina. Why? Because he says we're always mekil on sleeping, as we saw before. V'odu la'ekers l'matzah. He says there's two reasons. One is we're mekil in general, and the second is that maybe the comparison to matzah only teaches you that eating is special on the first night, but not sleeping. Right? Okay. So either they learn it from the comparison, or they just say that the exemption of Teshu Kenu doesn't apply on the first night in general. Right? That's what we learn. It's funny though. This halacha, I think, is I've discovered is one of the halacha that Americans know, and Israelis do not know. Why not?
Up there in the low rain.
Because it very, very rarely rains on the first night of Sukkot, right? Sukkot in general, it doesn't rain that much.
That's why we sleep in all Sukkot, right? It's beautiful weather. No.
Exactly. Sometimes you'll have rain, like you know, a little bit early in the season, and you'll have rain. And I remember a few years ago, it looked like it was going to rain on the first night. And like, you know, someone got up, like the rabbi got up in shul and he said, you know, if it rains tonight, it's your 5D to kazayit or wait. And someone, like, who's very knowledgeable, I was talking to her and she's like, well, that can't be. It's not Teshu Kein Tadiru, right? And I'm like, no, of course you do. The first night is an exception to Teshu Kein Tadiru. You have to eat it in the sukkah even if it's raining. She said, what? I've never heard of such a thing. And I said, of course not. You grew up in Israel, right? In America, every other sukkahs, it rains on the first night of sukkahs. And therefore, every single time, I said, there's a minhag kavua in America that the rabbi gets up in shul, tells you the halacha that you have to eat in the sukkah. The rabbi will tell you his position of whether he thinks you have to wait until it stops raining or not. And then you go home, and inevitably, there's a fight in the family, because the people in the family who say, let's wait. The people who say in the family, let's not wait. The people who say, let's give it another 15 minutes. The people who say, let's only have the gezayit. The people who say, we'll have a gezayit and we'll stay in the sukkah. The people who say, it's not so wet, right? It's a minhag kavua that on the first night of sukkah, you're supposed to fight with your family about how machmir you're going to be,
exactly.
Right? It's a minhag. I don't know any family that doesn't have this minhag, right? You're all nodding, right? Everyone knows that this is a minhag. What? Because of this? Oh, okay. Right. Oh, yes, it's even worse if you have guests on the first night. Oy, Gewalt. Oh, you're not being good to the guests. Achnosis Orchim. What is this? Chumrah. When did you get so from? Oh, right. It's a very old minhag that I'm sure every family has gone through. I don't want to know which side of the machloket you're on. Right?
You're not specifying what level of rain is, but
we will. You'll see. But what is the standard of rain? So what's the standard of rain? No, the standard of rain is that enough water makes it through the schach to ruin your soup. That is the Gemara standard.
You can't sleep in on the first place unless you're
no, it's just the sheer. Like, how much rain?
I don't know how much rain over.
Why not?
The Yotze, you're sleeping, you just lay in bed, you don't fall asleep.
Why would you
pick?
No,
better
question. Why is it standard? It ruins the soup. Where have you ever seen something like
that? Is that eating?
I don't know. That's the standard. I don't know.
It's easy to ruin. Abizirin, do you think you'll see yourself?
A few drops of water will ruin the chicken, but soup, a few drops, like a little drizzle.
Not I don't know what the exact sheer, I don't know.
So it says you can stay out.
Now,
I think you'll see your sleep if you just lay there in bed without actually falling.
So now, guys, what do you think about a bracha? When you're eating in the sukkah while it's raining, do you make a bracha? What do you think?
Yeah.
Why yes? Okay, but so what? If it's raining on the third day, if it's the third day of Sukkot and it's pouring, and you eat in the Sukkot, do you make a bracha?
What's a bracha?
Leshiv Sukkah.
Yeah.
So if it's the third day of Sukkot and it's raining and you choose to eat in the Sukkot, do you make a bracha? No, it's a bracha levatala. You're not allowed to make a bracha.
But you're sitting in the Sukkot.
Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to sin the Sukkah. It's not. You're an idiot. Remember, we already said you're an idiot if you do it. That's not called eating. So no, it's a bracha of atala because there's no mitzvah at all. There's no mitzvah at all. If it's pouring and you're out in your Sukkah, there's no mitzvah at all. You don't make a bracha. When there's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv whatsoever. There's no chiyuv. In Lamdus, there's a machloket. Some people say there's just no mitzvah, and some people say no. When it's raining that much, it's considered not Zman Sukkah anymore. Like, that situation makes it that, like, right? Like, categorically, it's now removed. Right, so some people say that the reason Yerushalmi says you're an idiot if you sit in the Sukkah is because it's not just an exemption, it's that when it's raining like that, it becomes not a Zman of Sukkah, right? It's just a categorical removal of the category of the mitzvah. Now, but what about the first night? So this is less clear, because on the first night you say, well, I have to eat there. But why do I have to eat there, right? Is it the same type of mitzvah or not, right? Right? Is it that it's the same type of mitzvah, I just have an override, over the normal exemption, right? Or do you say that, no, the fact that it's not subject to the normal rules of Teshuvah came to do will show you that it's a different type of a mitzvah, in which case...
It's not a different... They're
no, the same. No, there might be different types because it's learned from Tetvav Tetvav. It's a comparison to matzah, but maybe that's independent of the normal mitzvah of Leishev Basukah. So do you say a bracha? So the Aruch HaShulchan notes that this is a machloket or a suffix. He says, "Inyan birchat Leishev Basukah b'layla rishona kishyorik shamim." What about a bracha? Yinira shelo livarach the suffix bracha. He thinks it's a suffix, right? Why? Because we already saw, according to some people, you're pater entirely, right? And therefore. According to some, you're chayev. And we pass in that way, but according to some, you're potter. And even if you're chayev, it's not clear what the nature of the mitzvah is, right? That probably his suffix is more. It's not clear whether you're really chayev or not. But he says so. He thinks that you. So he thinks that we svara. He would say you don't make a bracha. Omnam, mei rabbeinu ramam ivurish tzarach levarech. But he thinks that you do make. The Rama says you do make a bracha. Shirei kadosh shekadosh besukah kadesh yomer zman ala sukah. Right, because the Rama says, say Kiddush that you can say Shechayanu Hareshu Bavarech ala Sukkah. So that shows you're making a bracha on the Sukkah. V'nira dekimle la'alochi dada mechayfin, which shows you the Rama paskins unequivocally that you're obligated to eat in the Sukkah. L'fish ma'arne l'dibram, yeshod b'katuv. And as we've explained, that's a source in the Pasuk. Umi kol makom. What does he say? He says, the Rama says, say a bracha. But what have we learned about the Aruch HaShulchan by this point? He doesn't necessarily care. He says, Mikol makom limaseh. So what do I think practically? Kamedumani. It seems to me, she'ein nog in levarech. Leishev asuk v'yishamim. Now that's interesting, right? I think the minog is not to. Right? Yudchet. The yesh nafkamina bazeh gamlin yom tov sheni. But then there's another nafkamina, which is, what do you do on the second night? V'hainu k'shirik sham b'leil sheni. On the second night, im sarach levarich b'lel rishon shadin baror kain gam b'lel sheni sarach lechol kizay b'sok jarg sham mishom sveika diyoma. Right, this was Michael's question. Wait, what exactly is the reason for eating in the sukkah? So if you say that on the first night you have to, right, so then on the second night, which is a suffix the first night, then just like on the second night of Pesach, do you have to have another kizay of matzah? Of course, you have a second Seder, right? In America, in Chutzaretz. So he says, Aval im b'leil rishon ein tzarach levarech. But if on the first night you don't have to, then have a sveika didina. Ein tzarach levarech b'leil sheni b'sukkah b'yigashom lechol gizayet kemen danam b'kin b'kviyat yarcha. Right, but if he says on the first night that you don't say a bracha, because even on the first night it's a suffik, then what? He says, if it's a midin vadai, then the first night we paskin assuredly that you have to eat in the sukkah. So on the second night, even if it's raining, you should also. But if in the first night it's a suffix and you don't make a bracha, then the second night, where it's not really Yom Tov, because we know the calendar, right? And the first night to begin with is a suffix, so the Aruch HaShulchan is mechadesh, then on the second night you would not. And therefore, what does he say? This was Michael's question before. And so he says, Chena minhag. And again, what determines it for him? How does he know which way to paskin?
Three.
Minhag. Oh, Minog. Shalol leishay belel shani b'rithik shem. The minog is not to. Now, the funny thing is he says the minog. He had a better source for that is, in parentheses he says, that's also the mug in Avram and the Taz. But for him, what's more determinative? I've seen showed this to you over and over again. He cares about precedent. But for him, what's much more determinative is minog. So instead of saying the mug in Avram says you don't sit in the sukkah when it's raining on the second day, he says minog, parentheses, mug in Avram also, Taz, right? But how does he deal with the fact that misvara you might be chayev? You want to be machmir, yochel, because I have a sukkah achar suda. So on the second night, a compromise. Exactly. He says on the second night, it's very simple. Because I promise you, if you did the following, right? If you were at home and you said, listen, I think you need to have a kazai in the rain, right? So which one will make your parents more upset? Okay, I don't know. Whoever in your family is the one who's trying to get you to start the meal inside already, okay? Which one will make your parents less upset? If I say, I have to eat a kazayit, and we're not starting our meal until we all go out into the rain and make kiddush. Or you say, fine, we'll have our meal. Anyone who wants to join me for a kazayit of cake in the sukkah, or a bread with my cake in the sukkah after the meal, you're free to. Which one will make them less upset? Very good, right? So he says, do you want to be machmir? So listen, on the second night, you don't have to wait. But if you want to be Makai in the mitzvah of eating kazayit, so do it after the meal. But don't be mavatel simchat yom tov and push off your meal. So on first night, he says, push off your meal or eat in the rain, the first kazayit. But on the second night, eat your meal. And then if you want to be machmir, go and have a kazayit. He says, obem zasuda. Or if you want, you can do the middle of a meal. He's not saying dafka at the end. He's saying, meaning his point is you don't have to wait to have the beginning of your meal in the rain. Right? And he says, v'lo yikadish b'sukkah, meaning you don't have to make kiddush. You don't have to go through that whole thing. You want to run out of a piece of bread to be yotze having kazayin in the sukkah? Great. Right? But you don't have to go through the whole craziness. Now, what is... But now the Mishnah Brura says a little bit differently. He says you don't say the bracha, but he says ideally you should wait. L'chatchila tov l'hamdin a little bit. He says, right, Mishnah Brura is a different compromise, which is that on night two, you should wait a little bit, just not a lot. On the first night, you wait a lot before you go out and have exide in the sukkah. And the second night, you wait a little bit, right? A little bit, right? Meaning try your best or wait a little bit. Now you'll tell me how much is a little bit. I'm not going to give you a shear. So according to some chatzot, right, we saw that before. That's like midnight, 12:30. I don't know. Whatever it is. But the Mishnah Berurah also notes you don't want to be machmir. You don't have to. Okay, so that's on eating. So sleeping, he said, the minhag is not to sleep on the first night, even if it's raining. Wait, even on the first night, you wouldn't sleep if it's raining. That's how I should have said it. So Mishnah Berurah says, no, you don't. Yeah, it seems like you wouldn't say the bracha. What do you mean? Doing kind of the mitzvah. Mitzvah, bracha is not ma'akev. Without the bracha, you can still fulfill a mitzvah. Okay. So then in halacha yutet, now he introduces a different halacha, which is, okay, what about learning in the sukkah?
Same thing, I'd assume.
So he says, kol yamim kore velome betoch ha-sukkah. All 7 days, you're supposed to learn in the sukkah. V'imtzar harbe svarim limudo yitlein l'sukkah. If you need a lot of books, bring him to the sukkah. Bring your pile of books to sukkah. The avol b'shizeh olav torach, even if that's annoying, mikomakom lo b'shvil zeh yachal liftar atzmo misukkah. That's not a reason to be pater. The Mishnah Berurah happens to argue and say, it depends. If you need a lot of books right now, you're learning a sugya, then the Mishnah Berurah says, you're pater. But let's say you're going to be using the same pile of books all of sukkahs, and you could choose to just leave the pile of books in the sukkah, then the Mishnah Berurah says, chayev, because to take out a pile of books for one little thing, that's a pain. Just, you know, stay by your bookshelf, look it all up, or whatever, right? But if you're going to be using the same 10 books, because, you know, you've all decided that you're going to give a chabura the day we get back, right?
Obviously.
Right, obviously. What are you giving your chabura on, Binyamin? Good. Now I can guilt all of you. Okay, so start thinking about it. Now he's just given me an idea that you should all give us Chaburah the day we get back. Maybe not the day back, but we should start getting you thinking about Chaburah.
What's Chaburah?
Oh, you're just giving a shir.
Oh, I was not aware.
Oh, so just know in general, we really like when guys give shir, right? At some point during the year, the Shana Bet guys have already started doing it for this year. But last year, we made a fateful decision. And that was, it's my job to get you guys to give it. And I'm much pushier about this than whoever was in charge of it before. And therefore expect that once we decide that, you guys should start be doing it and I start getting in your case, I will annoy the heck out of you until you say yes. What? Oh, it's great. It's a lot of fun. Well,
what are the parameters of this year?
Whatever you want.
Just don't get 240 source sheets.
You can. Zach did it. Why not?
Did he actually get 240?
No, I said 120 pages.
Oh, 120. Did he actually do 120?
Yes.
Per person.
I mean, he didn't print it for everyone because that would have been crazy. Our printer would still be doing it now. Have you met our printer? Like,
who did that?
Someone who was in China last year.
Someone who did that.
What?
How long
did it take? A while? I don't know. Anyways.
I'm happy to get one.
That's good. Okay, so bring a bookshelf in. So bring your bookshelf.
Yes.
What if you're concerned about rain?
Right, so that's a little bit of a question. Like, what are you going to do?
Also, what are your bookshelves?
So Moshe says to stay there with a tarp the whole time.
That's what you do. If you're camping and you're not in a tent, you have a tarp.
Yes, but you don't bring books when you're camping. You don't. No, you might bring what? You don't bring a stack of books.
You don't
bring
your
books.
Your books will stay inside.
Yeah,
what am I having? There's like reading. What? What about doing
things
like reading?
Yeah, what about it?
Are you supposed to bring books
up? Ideally.
Are you supposed to keep your book in the stuff?
So now he says. So he says, "Vizeu gam bechlal teishu kein tadiru." Right now. Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you that the next line is going to puzzle all of you. So the Gemara actually says that I'll give you a little background. The Gemara says that it depends. Right. That learning in the sukkah, it depends. Are you learning in depth? Are you learning just like light learning, whatever? So there's actually a machloket. There's a minority view that actually says which is which. That which one are you chayev to do in the sukkah, which one are you not? So the way we paskin is that. But there's a minority view in the Gaonim, in the Rizgeya, that the serious learning you do in the sukkah, why?
Because
that's teishu kein tadiru, right? And then there's like light learning that you do, like, I don't know, in the bus, That's like a thing. Like, you just go for a walk in the park while you're carrying your sefer and you like read, you read like, you go like this.
You just walk around looking through the sefer, walking through like 10 minutes walking on the street.
I do it all the time. You laugh, but I used to do this on like Amsterdam and Broadway and like, mostly Amsterdam because the YU side. What?
You could still be aware of your surroundings.
You could. I did that too.
What?
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear it.
Why?
Now, the majority view, however, guys, majority view is what? Is the other way around. Is that if you're really learning B'Iyun, so you might need, if you're doing light learning, you're like reading a Torah book, whatever, if you sit outside in the sukkah, got some fresh air, great. But if you're learning B'Iyun, like you need a table, you need quiet, you need whatever, what? Good shtender, you need nobody around, whatever, so you can do that inside, right? Now, but what's the funny thing? That's how he paskes, but remember, what did he just say? No, he just said that you're chayev even when you bring in a lot of books, which what does he think that means? That's bikiyos. For him, even if I have a pile of books that's so big that it's annoying to bring, the Aruch HaShulchan says, that's light learning. Okay. Says, Omnam, Imlifi Omek, Iunobelimudo, Kashalo, Yen Vesurk. If it's hard to really get into it, Yachalomobezo, Kevin Shalimodze, Yeshalo, Vesurka. So that you're allowed to do in at home if you're not going to be able to learn seriously in the Sukkah. V'kavachomer advarim dimbit. And what's the reason? He says, very simple. What did we say the rule is that gets you out of the mitzvah Sukkah in general?
Rain.
Sa'ar. Pain. No, rain is a function of sa'ar. of Mitzdayer Patur. I mean, I'm talking about being in pain is Patur. So he says if pain gets you out of, right, if physical pain gets you out, Kavachomer, that you're unable to learn properly in the Sukkah, he says, Kavachomer Advarim, Dimbitzara Guf Amru, Dimbitzara Patur. I mean, that's talking about Kolsh again, but you know, a Nefesh, it's pain for your soul. The Torah Tzarch Tehei, Daidum Yushevet Alav. Your Torah, you need to concentrate. Uling and Tfila, what if you're davening at home, Rachman Olaflan, not in a minyan? Ein chov a klal lit ba'al v'sukkah. There's no chiyuv whatsoever to daven in the sukkah. Sharei bazel lo shayach kein deduro, right? Because that's not tein kaduro. Why? Because you're never really supposed to be davening at home. You're supposed to be davening at shul. So davening is not something you normally do at home. Digam aveinu mitzvah b'kviyat el beit hakneset. V'alchein im ratzim mitzvah v'sukkah im ratzim mitzvah v'sukkah. You want to daven in the sukkah? Fine. You want to daven at home? Fine. Umiyu, but then he, after saying that there's no real chiyuv, but if you have a nice quiet place in your sukkah, okay, it's the right thing to do.
So I have a house minion in my house. So I do daven at home.
Oh, I don't know. So is it defined personally, subjectively, or objectively? Oh, I don't know. Or super hot. Or super buggy.
So, I don't
actually
need to have something coming up.
Why?
It's always freezing.
It's always cold. Or it's always
cold. How cold is it?
Like,
below winter jacket. Last year was winter jacket.
In Toronto.
Montreal.
Toronto.
No such place as Toronto.
It's
Toronto.
Toronto. He lives in Toronto. He doesn't care about your Long Island, New York guy.
Cold. I grew up in New York, and I ate in the sook in New York, and I ate in the sook in Toronto.
Toronto.
Meha achuz. What are you talking about? Toronto is freezing.
What about the second night?
When Ara and I were engaged, I went there on Pesach. Like, I had Seder at my parents, and I went to Toronto for Chol HaMoed. It's April. I'm in New York. I took a bus. I was in New York in a polo shirt, right? It's like 65 degrees, like beginning of spring. Beautiful, perfect weather. I get off the bus in Toronto. It is 38 degrees Fahrenheit. I am in a polo shirt with no sweatshirt, no nothing. I am dying. I'm like, it is Pesach, Chag HaAviv, people. It's supposed to be the spring. This is ungodly. Oh, it was unbelievable. I'm like, what is this frozen?
Wasteland.
Yes.
Yes.
Depends on the same issue that we talked about. Yes, no, suffix, this, that, yeah. Okay, so now what are the standards of rain? So what are the rains? So Yarduk Shamim, if it rains, you can go inside. This is exactly what we just asked, Avi. Just like rain, he says, well, if it's very hot, and it's a shrav. What's a shrav? It's like a really hot wind. Like a scorching wind. Wind. Like a shrav is like, it's like a heat, it's a heat wave, a real heat wave with like dry air, like sometimes you'll get like these sandy wind, like it's terrible. Yeah. V'yitushim. What are yitushim? Mosquitoes or gnats. Bugs. A lot of bugs. Bees. Uvim mekomod karim, or if it's a cold place, b'nei aruchot, because of wind, v'akor. V'yesh lefamim b'layla, sh'ruach mechabad aner, v'achreich lefanat leveita. Or, it's so windy that the fire goes out, right? The candle goes out, and it's dark, so you go home. What's the rule? Klalo shel davar. Here's the rule. Keep it with you. Kol min mitzdayer patur min ha-sukkah. Anything that causes you pain, you're exempt from the sukkah. V'chol ha-patur min ha-sukkah v'eino yotze misham. And if you're patur and you don't leave, idiot. You do not get reward for it. You are an idiot. Kidita Birushalmi. That is what Yerushalmi says. Venirali atami. So what's the reason? He says, look, there are things in life where you're allowed to be machmer. Everything's based on context. He says, Sukkah is different. Why is Sukkah different than other mitzvot? Where in other mitzvot we say you're exempt, but you could be machmir. Why doesn't he want you to be machmir here? Because the rule of sukkah is live in the sukkah the way you live in your house. Right? Umimela and Eina Kein Taduro. So if it's not the way you live, Eina Sukkah Klal. Right? That's his lumdus. Right? Avi, right? This is what I said before. His lumdus, if it's really painful, it's not a sukkah. And therefore, it's now, not everybody agrees with Aruch HaShulchan. Because some people say, no, no, it depends. Rain makes it not a sukkah because rain is pretty objective. But like cold, people have different standards of cold. And therefore, cold might be a patur, right? It might exempt you, but it's not a sukkah. Right?
No.
Same as rain.
Why do my school always make us eat in the bee-infested sukkah?
Because
there are bees.
Oh, right. You had school on sukkahs. I forgot you did that.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Go ahead.
Only in lower school. In high school, we didn't have to.
Okay.
But I never understood it.
So therefore, he says, sure. But you wouldn't eat in your house while it's raining. This is not the sukkah the Torah wants. And therefore, he says, so because he says that the lumdus of sukkah is different, he thinks that all mitzta'er makes it that it's not a sukkah. So therefore, he says, there's no benefit to eating in the sukkah when you're pater because you're just an idiot. Because there is no sukkah halachically. Right? If the situation is such that no one would eat there in their house, then this is not a sukkah.
So I'm wondering,
there's no greater fool, idiot than this. What reward could you possibly get? You're not in the sukkah that the Torah commanded you. For sure, you can't go into the sukkah when you're exempt. But this is very important. When you leave, this is basically the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel. Don't leave like you're angry and you're kicking the mitzvah. Ugh, horrible place to be. Don't do that. Elabachna, Rabba, Kevich, Amazig, Lokosa. Rabba, leave humbly and imagine, right, what's the Gemara's image? That you're a servant that offered a cup of water to your master and he took it and dumped it on your head. Right? That's what he's doing.
Why
you
would
offer.
Be angry? You'd be like kicking it angry because you hate it.
Right? Vishavar, Rabba, Gidon, Jomayo, Panav. And then he notes that he quotes a sefer of Machzor Shekel Peir Tzeish Bazed Amayim Mamti Mimatkin Ayayin Adom who remes l'rachamim. He says, why water? Because water, when you put in red wine, it softens the color, and therefore it's a mid of rachamim. Okay. How much rain? Ezu shir shel gshamim. How much rain? Sheitzim in asukat abet b'atchala yored al aschach v'ino yored edayin l'sukah. If it just falls on the aschach and doesn't get into the sukkah, no. Right, it's that if so many drops are falling on your table, that if it were to go in your food, it would ruin your food. Even beans, which become rotten very quickly when they get wet, still, that much is enough. And if you don't know how, right, and now the Aruch HaShulchan, remember I said sometimes very balabatish? He says, what if you don't know the formal thing? You sit there, is this enough rain? What does it mean ruined? What does it mean food? What is it? What does the Aruch HaShulchan do? What do you think the Aruch HaShulchan is going to do?
Don't be stupid.
Yishayir batzmo. Figure it out yourself. Figure out, is my food ruined? Yes? Go in. No? Don't go in. De'imu yodim veto. He says, ask yourself. De'imu yodim veto b'cholkach. If you would leave your house in this much water coming through your roof, then leave. Again, this is every night except a right. But the first night you should eat. Yes.
Fine,
but that's not because the leak itself is that right. If it weren't that, fine. So change it. If it weren't that your ceiling was about to fall on your head, but instead it was Moshe is there with an eyedropper dropping water on your head, right? Well, you're
so
just.
If I just followed you with my sugar, and I was just snooping you with my sugar.
No, so I think definitely our standard has changed.
change the temperature or go to another room where he knows a different temperature. So honestly, definitely because we would normally leave the room or change the temperature. Since we can't change the temperature,
right? So you really do have to ask how much this changes when our standards are when we're more sensitive.
Or maybe you
now, guys. So guys, I'm gonna skip halacha the chav gimel and just say, what about sleeping? Same by sleeping. But he says, but wait a second, sleeping is more lenient. Why? He said, look, each has different standard, right? Sleeping, you might have a higher standard, right? A more sensitive standard than eating. And there too, you shouldn't be machmir. Unless you just don't care. You're the type of person who doesn't care. You're the type of person who never cares, right? If there was it was leaking on your roof, you would just be like, eh. That's exactly what he says, right? Michael would not. Michael is like, I heard that there's a leak somewhere in the house. I'm buying a new house, right?
No, I would just go try to find out what. Where
buying a new house, right?
If I have the money to, hopefully in the future I would have that kind of money, and yes, I'll do that.
It's raining in the Amazon rainforest. I'm scared that the rain will come over here.
It's like Brave New World on steroids, right? Brave New World, you have a little hole in your clothes, you throw them out, you never try to fix clothes, so here you don't try to fix your house, you just get a new one.
Exactly,
Rabbi. Okay, so this is Chavet, Vida, he has one suffix. What if you have a sukkah in your house, like with a retractable roof, right? You know, some people have this, right? Or outside with like a tarp. Or whatever, or a retractable, or whatever, you have a tarp, right? So when it's raining, you just cover it with a roof. Right? And when it's not, you pull it off. Right? A tarp, whatever it'll be, plastic. And what you always cover it as soon as it starts raining. Right? And what happens? When you're it's in your house and you just have a retractable roof, as soon as you see the first drop, you close the roof so that it doesn't get inside. Right? Right, so he said, you have to have a suffix. On the one hand, you could finish your meal, like Avi said, but you don't want to finish it and let the water build up on the schach and then ruin your meal later or ruin your house, right? Or do you say, listen, right, is it better to say, well, I have a mitzvah right now, or to say, well, if I don't close it now, then it's going to take longer for the sukkah to get dry, right? We all know this, right? Forget your house, right? Just you have a tarp, right? If I pull the tarp over right away, then as soon as it finishes raining, I can go back outside, right? But if I wait now and I have my meal, then what's going to happen? Even if it's not so wet now, right, the water's going to slowly gather and it's going to make the sukkah wet and it's going to take longer for you to be able to eat in it later, right? So do you prioritize the mitzvah now or prioritize the mitzvah later, right? He says, you prioritize the mitzvah now, and later, if you're potter, you're potter. But then he says, that's what you would say, misvara. But again, you've learned the Aruch HaShulchan. So now, what is going to come up against his svara? Minag. Ava olam lo nagu gain. That's on the minag. V'ulai, what's the justification? He says, well, the Gemara says, in general, the rule that we have by Shabbos is violate one Shabbos to save, right, in future ones. He says, and that's a rule in general that sometimes you're allowed to nullify one mitzvah to for the long term. So he says, Hachanami mutav levatel suda zu misukah kedei sheyakayim achar harbei sudot b'sukah. So maybe it's worth giving up this meal so that, you know, you have a much drier sukkah and can enjoy the rest of the meals. Muzevadai. He says, unless it's a Shana Rabbah. Because if it's the end of Sukkot, then you're not going to eat later. So, right? Why? Because even though you eat in the Sukkah in Chutzlaretz and Shmini Atzeret, because it's Safek Shvi'i, it's still Shana Rabbah still has priority over Safek Shana Rabbah, Safek Shmini Atzeret. Since Midoraita, you don't have to eat once you get to Shmini Atzeret. Lo yivatel dino de'oraita. It doesn't uproot the mitzvah de'oraita on Hoshana Rabba. Bishvil su that shmini atzer shlo di bechol do lechol ayidei zeh. Okay, I think let's stop there. We have a few halachot left.